when we talked about this, there may be other ways, of course, but I thought we were specifically thinking of pooling mechanisms where we utilize the buying power or the cost effectiveness of the larger groups to effect cost savings. And just just a small point. That's real awkward. Look for opportunities to save substantial costs. Does that mean unless they're substantial, you shouldn't look for them? How about just opportunities for cost savings?
For cost savings through pooling mechanisms?
Through pooling or other mechanisms.
Yeah.
Yeah, that pooling is a good high
priority. Okay, anything else on the first? How about administrative realignment?
I think it would be clear to say allow insourcing so groups of state employees.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I was wondering, I looked at the sentence, the dot that says consolidate and realign administrative services, and that just didn't get me very far. I don't disagree that it should be in there, but I'm wondering, did we lose the concept of the possibility of consolidation of departments and agencies? Is that a lost idea?
I think that's just missing from the sentence.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, on the last section, the second dot, changing the public school foundation, the second sentence, I'm wondering if we could, in that second sentence, have it read this way. The required local effort should be reexamined as well as provisions that allow school districts to obtain. I would delete the word should and delete the word which, and I would have it read as well as provisions that allow school districts to obtain greater funding. It would read better if you did that.
Good.
Okay.
Anything else on page 9? Page 10, I wasn't sure if they revised the fee schedule. The notes just said revise the fee schedule, and I remember the original proposal, but I wasn't sure if that was what was agreed upon.
I've got that one off. I've got that one marked. Because actually, you know, Brian, what some of us were talking about the other day is the problem with the Pioneers Home is the high cost of the care there, which is so much higher than any place else in the country. Anywhere else in the world. So it's not just having, what people should pay, we should kind of index, this is this whole thing about trying to index fees to what people can pay, which is the point Mary was making, not only for the Pioneers Home, but for everything. So that's one point. But the second point is, and we didn't discuss this, so I suppose we can't put it in, but the whole idea of finding out where we are so much higher in cost than every place else and then trying to figure out what the heck is going on. And the Pioneers Home is certainly ripe for that.
I think we could put in a generic, look for areas of state spending that are disproportionately high relative to other states and examine whether there are legitimate reasons or not. We could say something like that.
I think that would be good. On the Pioneer Home thing, what I was talking about was not to require higher income residents to pay a greater portion, but to have residents pay based on their income, all residents pay based on their income, that is, a percentage of their income.
Well, and I know you said it just for Pioneer's Home, but see, I think for a lot of our services,
I agree. I'm not quarreling with that idea. It's all, but we did direct it specifically to the Pioneers Home. We could expand it to include other services as well.
We could say just such as the Pioneer Home.
Yeah, whatever.
What about having it be a two-part thing? One, revised fee schedules at services such as Pioneer Homes. So costs
to reflect, and also
an accurate figure of what it costs to provide the service. We really need both pieces of it. Yeah. To reflect cost of service and ability to pay. That's good, man.
Okay, on the fourth bullet under shift responsibilities, there seems to have been some controversy over what we're saying here and some disagreement that I've heard from members of the commission on the troopers for road patrol. Can anybody tell me what they think we voted on?
I can tell you what we didn't vote on. When we were on the board, I think Steve had put in some kind of generic, what I interpret to be more generic language. If I would have heard the word contract or contract with troopers, I would have objected. I think some of us let it kind of go because Steve had picked some kind of neutral wording on it.
Brian, what you said in your summary of your comments was what I thought we voted on. It was clear that what you were allowing was the continued ability for a community to pay the full cost, and then the service could remain. I know that the word contract becomes a hot button with some people, but what you stated was, I think, an accurate reflection of the concept. And I remember after it was up on the board, I went into some detail to make sure that that was, in fact, what people understood that concept to be.
Does this say it?
No, I think that I actually liked your wording exactly in that summary that you came out with a week ago. Well,
that was just a transcript of my verbal statement. I don't remember what I said.
Well, you basically said, but allow communities, but you did use the word contract, that's right. I mean, you said, but allow communities to contract for continued state troopers, or something like that. If you want to skirt the word contract and say, allow communities to retain the state trooper service through a self-support payment of the full cost, and that avoids the word contract and avoids the hot button. That says the same thing to me, but for some reason, I am aware of that. For some reason, the contract used to just really excite the former commissioner. There's something magic about that word.
Why don't we just say eliminate, could I offer a suggestion? Why don't we just say eliminate state general fund support for of troopers for road patrols in communities of more than 2,500?
Because they can't. That wasn't what was agreed to, Annalie. That wasn't agreed to in a vacuum. It was agreed to only if there was an acknowledgement that, in some cases, that doesn't leave communities with a fair matrix of opportunities.
And an example of that, Ross has brought up the issue of the Kenai Peninsula borough not having, as a second-class borough, same as the Fairbanks North Star, not having police power, and therefore, if you just leave it as eliminate state general fund support, it's not clear that there ought to be a way for a service area to form or another way to deal with it in Kenai and Fairbanks. And I think allowing communities to retain police services through self-support was the intent of that.
Retain.
So Steve,
retain
why
their choices.
Is here?
What's that?
Well, I'm going to have to go one at a time. There are too many people wanting to speak. Let's go to Anna Lee, then Steve, then Mary. Then Pat.
Steve, does the wording that's in here, but allow self-support, is that not covering what you're saying then?
I mean, it's so vague that it could mean anything to anyone else, anyone who reads it. I think that what Brian said was accurate, but if there's a problem with the word contract, say, but allow communities to continue that service through payment of the full cost of that service, that's a very crystal clear explanation of self-support.
Strikes me that that's a level of detail that's quite a bit more than what we've got in the other one.
Well, I think what Brian said was good shorthand, and the only reason is that some people, and I guess Pat, I didn't know that, have a problem with the word contract. And it's not really a contract. It doesn't have to be a contract, although that would be the most reasonable way to set forth an understanding of what services are and what costs are.
Why don't we just say, but allow communities to retain such services if they're willing to pay for it?
That's fine. Yes, I mean, that's a great suggestion.
Is everybody willing to go with that?
I've got one question that I'd like to have answered. Was it only road patrols that we were talking about, or was it other police services?
I thought it was road patrols, but I'm not sure.
Well, I don't care.
Actually, Mary, I think the discussion was broader, but actually road is probably more to the point of what the controversy is, because like in Anchorage, you know, the troopers have a state crime lab that the APD uses, and they solve their crimes because it's there. And you know, I think that it's probably, there are some Department of Public Safety functions that aren't road patrols that people haven't gotten excited about.
Okay, we ready to go to increase revenues?
Brian, what about the property tax cap we talked about earlier? Does that belong in here or somewhere else?
I put it under...
It's on page 12.
Okay.
It's on page 10. Brian?
Wait, which property tax? Senior citizen?
No, this was the Marshall Borough.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's on page 12.
Okay.
Brian, I'd like us to. I know we all agreed on this. On this, avoid new costs. On freeze issuance of certificates of need for new hospitals and nursing homes. I don't know if that. See, I think we were mainly talking like Anchorage. Or Fairbanks, maybe. I don't know what Fairbanks' situation is, but then it turns out I was talking to somebody the other night, and nursing homes, we have a terrible shortage of nursing homes in this city.
Who says? Who says?
What?
Who says we have a shortage of nursing homes?
Nursing homes. Yeah. Joyce Murphy, whose mother was on a waiting list, and three or four of them couldn't get in any of them. I mean, terrible.
What if we said reassess?
All I'm saying is maybe we didn't know what we were saying. I don't know. See, I don't know now.
I think you voted on what it said right here.
Like I leave you.
I agree with Mary that we voted on this, but I think there was not a lot of discussion of it. It was something that had come up right near the very end, and I guess I'd be comfortable with freeze issuance of certificates of need for new hospitals and reassess the process for issuance of CON at nursing homes. Are you more comfortable with that, Judy?
Oh, yeah. I was just raising it anyway because we didn't have anybody in to kind of go over it with us. I mean, some things we just all said, oh, yeah, kind of.
Right.
Well, this is a real complicated subject, but just even in some areas, like Palmer that wants a nursing home, that doesn't mean that there's still a lot of adverse, doesn't mean that there's adverse costs to everybody in the system just because you're meeting somebody's nursing home need. The need itself is not really the issue. It's what happens when the Medicaid system is paying for a new nursing home. What does that mean to the rest of this, to the Medicaid expenses?
Or forcing you to pay the full cost of that system because of the Boren Amendment, which squeezes other services.
Yes. Community-based yeah. services.
Yeah.
So there could be needs, but that still doesn't mean that we should be building more nursing homes.
Well, I just thought that to say to freeze, you know, like we had really, you know, I think that maybe the word consider, or I don't care. We did vote on it. I just realized I didn't know very much about it when someone was talking.
Well, I'd be comfortable with leaving it frozen for hospitals, but and reassessing the need for new nursing homes that gives the commissioner at least something she can tie if she feels it's important to freeze.
Yeah, that's fine. I would go with what everybody voted on. I just
increase revenues, tobacco taxes. Yes.
The title of shift responsibilities and revenues to local government somehow seems to me the way it's worded is sort of getting get everybody's back up. What about I don't have a great suggestion, restructure local state responsibilities and revenues or something that's not quite as, this sounds a little bit too much like stick it to the other guy.
How about we say revenues and responsibilities instead, and that way they get the money before they get the responsibility.
Well, do that thing that Bob, and Mary were talking about, where, because this is very positive for local communities, because it says don't get shift the responsibility without the money to do it. So whatever, I thought Bob had one of his recommendations. Local government had said something like that. We lose everybody.
Oops. Can you hear us, Brian?
Yep.
I think we did. You hear what Judy just said?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Okay.
So, page 11.
And now are we on to
increase
revenue?
Brian, before we go,
I think.
Sorry, Lee, you've already used up your go bag.
We're not on 11 yet, are we?
No, we're on 10 under increased revenue.
Yeah. In the, we have, under that heading where the second sentence says we've chosen a short-term package of consumption taxes and business taxes. Would it be correct for us to say we've chosen a short-term package of consumption taxes which impose on the state real service costs?
Okay.
That's not exactly accurate, but it's
the tax doesn't impose a cost.
A package of taxes on consumption.
Yeah.
On consumption that imposes.
That is tuberculosis tax?
Yeah, the wages
yeah.
the wages
of
sin.
Could we also say in the first sentence, we believe Alaska cannot balance its budget responsibly without new revenue?
You know, I like the idea of a tax on tuberculosis and things like that. If we start taxing getting sick, then maybe it'll change behavior, and tax avoidance will cut our health care costs.
Well, that'd be great.
I think you're on to that.
Getting old, too.
At the bottom of that page, I think it would be clear to say we recommend the tax increase by 25%, 25 cents every 3 years.
Okay. Ready for page 11. Alcohol. Motor fuel.
On
green
alcohol,
motor fuel.
I think, whoa. Alcohol sentence two, this tax increase will pay a small portion of the state's cost due to alcohol abuse. And then it wasn't clear to me whether that next sentence in a bracket was one that we were thinking about taking out. Is that what that meant? Or
I wasn't sure where to put that.
Oh, okay.
Maybe start that as a sentence and put it above this tax increase. So we say increase taxes by an average of 10 cents a drink raises how much? Testimony before the commission indicated a substantial portion, et cetera, through abuse. This tax increase will pay a small portion of those of these state costs.
Yeah, that'd be good. And I think instead of triennial, let's just say every 3 years. On motor fuel, I wasn't sure whether we really should say we didn't take a position on constitutional dedication. It doesn't add anything if we didn't take a position.
It started, we believe.
We didn't discuss it.
Yeah. And it's same in marine motor fuel.
Yeah.
Are we taking that out?
We leave the second half of the sentence.
We might want to mention on motor vehicle license plates that we're well below the average, national average now or something like that.
That'd be good.
Okay.
And on user fees, it was not my understanding that the $3 million could come only from indexing, but there were places where our fees are out of whack. We could say raise user fees by approximately $3 million annually, and index them to inflation where practicable. Is that square with what other people were understanding?
That was my understanding.
Yes.
And then 30 million bit down there instead of 20 at the last line, same as before.
Aren't we saying, and Brian, I think I heard you say this in front of Common Sense, but aren't we trying to index both user fees and things like motor fuel tax and that kind of stuff to what you do nationally? And the only place we're not doing that is cigarette and alcohol, which we would be raising above the national average. Is that kind of generally true?
Well, actually, motor fuel and marine motor fuel, we talked about indexing to inflation.
And that's in
our
text now.
We didn't talk about indexing to the national average. They would probably go up faster if we index to the national average.
Okay.
Did we want to index motor vehicle license plates?
I think people would like to know that. I mean, that's kind of a...
You know, motor vehicle license plates should be a fixed sum. And if you know, if it works out to be $43.97, you're going to have people really...
But most indexing...
$50.
I think what we talked about on the user fees was indexing and rounding. The index thing up or down.
Well, yeah. But, you know, if we say index for slicing, it's, I don't think people know.
Page 12, Lee, does this 20 mil take care of what we wanted?
Yeah.
Brian, on On the tourist tax, on the tourist tax, since we met, although in discussion we talked about a tax, the reality is to be broad-based like we talked about so that you capture different kinds of tourists and different kinds of modes of transportation, it may be that you may talk, it may be a several kinds of taxes, not just a tax.
Okay. One, establish new taxes. Good.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Before we get to the cap, the permanent fund dividend pool, I'm wondering about two paragraphs or two sections that need to be added. One is, if you look at this whole business, this whole section on taxes, we don't discuss the income tax, and there's no paragraph in here that talks about the need, when, how it's triggered, what's the logic behind it, you know, and what's the amount, and how it can be offset by federal taxes and all that. But there's no paragraph that talks about the concept of the income tax. And I was wondering that
before...
That
probably go on page 14 when we get to the 5- and 10-year plan.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, the second thing is a subject that I brought up a number of times, and I did listen to Representative Navarre's colloquy, which I thought was the right words, and I know we have a tape for it. But the whole business of discussing oil and gas taxes and what the sense of the commission was regarding that subject could be at least two or three sentences and be inserted here.
I think that's a good idea.
I think so. Is there somebody that could try to find Mike, their notes from what Mike said, and I'll put that in? That was one of the questions I got at Common Sense for Alaska was why should the oil industry be offended by the plan?
Can you remember what day it was?
Mike's was on either Friday or Saturday of the last meeting.
Okay. We'll check.
Well, all you have to do is listen to 16 hours.
It was right after lunch, though.
Tape 11.
Well, and this is why I was asking about indexing to what other the oil and gas taxes are in the mid-range internationally and in the mid to high range nationally. At least that's what the Oil and Gas Policy Council people say, and that's what DOR says. But some of these others, like fisheries, mining, timber, you know, don't pay the same kind. Don't pay even close to, or tourists don't pay even close to the national tax. What we're trying to do is have everybody pay kind of the median. And the only place we actually went over the hill on that was cigarettes and alcohol. And that's why I was asking if that was a true thing to say, because then, you know, it gives us a way of moving through the whole tax issue.
Do we also want to say that it's our hope that the state's stable tax environment will encourage more exploration and production, thus contributing more oil dollars to the gap, although we can't figure out how much at this time.
Yeah, and I think we said that in the interim report somewhere, if I remember, somebody said it. Surprised it wasn't me, but I didn't.
Okay.
Would it be appropriate if at the beginning of the section on individual taxes to just have a sentence or two that says, in some cases we over time we fall way behind either inflation or national norms.
Yep.
We think taxes should be indexed to either inflation or national norms as appropriate for the particular tax.
Yeah, I think that's
so
great.
Doesn't happen again. Something like that.
Yeah.
Put that in after alcohol.
Yeah, because you said your speech, but those were the two, somebody asked you, because, you know, the industry's not going to like that, and you did say, you know, you were very clear about the fact that those two are the ones that were we'd be real high up.
Okay, cap the dividend pool. That we need a little, the same reworking we did before.
Right, plus I think it would be helpful in the text to give a dollar amount without changes to the program. It'll go to take a major share dash $729 million in FY05 or something like that.
$965 million nominal, $729 today's dollars. Which do we want?
Oh, we should use nominal. I looked at the wrong chart. Aren't we mostly using nominal throughout?
Yes. Okay. Judy?
Are we going to have a little footnote somewhere in italic and very small print someplace that talks about nominal and real? Just a couple of sentences that...
We're not going to use the word real anywhere. We're going to use today's dollars.
Right, but just something that explains. Maybe we don't have to do that. I don't know.
We don't say nominal.
We could put that in at the end. That would be fine.
Yeah, maybe we don't have to.
Okay, clarify the state's reserves. This gets broken into two paragraphs. New headline.
On the very last line, I think we should say the commission's determined that under its plan, the state needs only one significant reserve.
Okay. Page 13.
That's where we were going to add in Bob's suggestion of explaining how we came to 1.5.
Yeah.
1 year's oil revenue.
Right. And then substitute in the second line production for volumes. I think that's a more commonly used.
I think.
And the last. Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. I think we should move that up a little bit, though, too, in an earlier one, because people are going to think they've already read it, they're going to skip over, and I think that's a real important, I think he's right, that's a kind of a major piece.
The example that was used, I know a few times, was this one, or somebody talked about in terms of just production, like 1 year's supply or 1 year's revenues, but isn't the reality, wouldn't it be more like where we could talk about it in terms of successive years of declines of so many dollars a barrel, or, you know, that's more the reality, isn't it? That a reserve is, if you got 2 years of $10 oil,
but we don't know that exact number.
Or you had a tremendous drop in volume. Volume could probably be the worst problem.
I think if we just leave it as 1 year oil revenues, we're safer than trying to...
It's an easier cut, though.
Yeah. It's easier for people.
Yeah.
None of this is easy, that's the problem.
Okay, anything else on the CBR section?
Brian, did... How did we agree to replenish the CBR?
We agreed that in times of budget surplus, that budget surplus is caused by revenues above the projection.
Do you want to say anything?
The thing is that, you know, if we do that, we have to deal with the constitutional language
I think if we talk about, say, that in addition to the constitutional requirement that certain one-time revenues and income from investment of the CBR be redeposited in the CBR, we believe budget surpluses caused by revenues above the projections should be.
And then, Brian, what about the access? Should we put in the simple majority
Well, it's my hope that we will actually have the draft constitutional amendment that we can put forward back by Friday and can look at it, and that would make it clear. Have we heard from Ledge Legal as to when they're going to give us that draft back, Melissa?
No, we haven't.
But
it was my understanding from what Steve said that the access provision caused no problem if we could get rid of the sweep provision. That it was the sweep provision that required the two-thirds majority or the three-fourths majority on all cases. Because otherwise, it would if it didn't go out under a three-fourths, then the sweep provision would kick into place and that would pull in all of those old pools of money that are out there in the general fund. So,
well,
it may be that that will be more clear when we get the proposed language.
Well, whatever the changes are, they're not adequately described here in this bullet because the sweep provisions are part of the repayment. But the second thing is actually a different section here of change relates to the difference between comparison of revenues as opposed to spending, and that deals specifically with the majority access question. So we need to more specifically describe the changes that we're proposing here.
Okay, the sweep provision, the sweep requirement in the repayment provision.
The sweep is part of the repayment.
Okay, are there more than 100 people in Alaska that'll know what the sweep provisions are?
Well, the legislators will.
No, I don't. That's what.
Only about half of them.
Yeah, three of them.
Would it make sense to wait until you get the legislative language?
Yeah, I'll wait and see what we get and make sure we deal with it.
Okay, actually, the way to fix the sweep provision is just to repeal Article 10, Section 17D. That's the sweep.
Right. Then there's another part that deals with this redefinition of expenditure versus revenue.
Yeah.
And actually that should say, I think the parenthetical note at the bottom of bullet three should say rather than the quote availability test, it's really not spending provision, it's that what's available. And I would say projected declines in annual revenues as opposed to projected revenue declines to clarify.
Okay.
Question on the drafting of the bills. I think it would be helpful, since we're on a short time frame, to have the Department of Law also reviewing what Ledge Legal's working on so that they can put their, both be putting their heads to work on this. Is that something that we could get tomorrow?
Melissa, could you arrange for the drafts that we have to go to the AG's office or go to Anna Lee for her to bring to the AG's office?
Yes.
That'd be great. Thanks.
Okay, reform the budget process?
No, one more bullet.
Okay.
One more bullet.
This other bullet here, this reminded me, this last sentence as an endowment permanent fund. Have we ever described the endowment up to this point relative to inflation proofing?
Back on page.
Before you came in, Pat.
I'm
page
sorry.
Seven
clarified. We.
Oh, you added it because it wasn't there before. Okay.
Yeah, we added stuff in.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I'm getting real sensitive to our press clippings. And early on, we had an attack by an editorial in Anchorage or Fairbanks that we didn't know what the full budget was about. And I'm wondering if, in the right underneath this heading, reform the budget process, we ought to talk what the budget is, how we've handled the budget, and we know that the total budget is $5.6 billion, and we're basically, we've addressed the operating portion. But somehow we need to, somewhere in this paper, at least tell the world that we know what the budget is about and what its total amount is and what we've addressed. So I'm wondering how we can do that.
I think that's the right place to put it, and we ought to say, you know, we'll hopefully have some sort of a graphic on this that everybody ultimately feels comfortable with. Whether we have it by Monday or not, I don't know. But I agree, that's the right place to put this in, and as I was trying to write portions of this and take portions that other people had written earlier this week, I ran out of steam before I got to that paragraph or two, but I know we needed it.
And right above that, this is a little different than our earlier conversation about on the last bullet at the top. As an endowment, the permanent fund will be effectively inflation-proof. Then a new sentence, the dividends will be payable out of the annual withdrawal.
I understand that an economist for hire in Juneau has said that this plan doesn't inflation-proof the fund. Is that correct?
That's right, and that's partly why I'm so sensitive to the wording here.
You apologize.
In the first paragraph,
Bruce, I think, is trying to break in.
Bruce, go ahead.
You apologize for saying that. You admitted he was wrong.
To all of us? To all of us or just you?
In public or in print?
Off the air.
Off the air.
No, actually, I think he did at one point say, I stand corrected, but unfortunately, it sort of got lost in the shuffle. So it was not very, it was after already it made the. Brian, in the first paragraph under reform the budget process, I would say it discourages appropriate scrutiny of overall state spending.
Okay.
And then I would take out, the next sentence, I would take out the existence of and purpose for, and just say, although it relates to state general fund spending, special funds also affect services delivered by the state and should be scrutinized.
Okay.
Just pass the
board.
Did we do something in an active
fund? Yeah, an active fund. Yeah, right.
Special funds affect.
Okay. And on the first sentence that's there, where it says adequate information concerning the state finances, could we add a phrase, what we get in return for what we spend, or the performance, or as you were describing before, the outcomes? In other words, it's not simply a question of how much we spend, but what we get in return for what we're spending.
Or what we get for what we spend.
Yeah.
Sure. So it's say concerning the state's finances and what we get for what we spend. That was your suggestion?
Yeah.
Yeah,
good.
That's good.
And the second sentence on the first bullet, instead of procedures, should be established. putting into the active voice, the executive and legislative branches should establish procedures.
On the second bullet, I'm not clear on what the second sentence means. The commission suggests the format it has used.
Basically, the spreadsheet we use for the endowment, et cetera, this is, I think, Mary's language.
I was thinking of that spreadsheet so that people could, in just one document, what was happening.
I see. Maybe just to say that the spreadsheet...
the spreadsheet format.
Commission suggests the spreadsheet format. Yeah, I just didn't know which thing you were referring to. That's good.
Okay, page 14.
First bullet at the top, I would say each program funded or operated by the state, including loans and special corporations or something like that.
Should be reviewed by who?
Annalee.
Legislature and governor should review.
Yep.
Should be reviewed by Mac the
knife. And then we'll copy the language
knife.
From earlier.
Mac the knife.
And capital improvement, I would just say funding.
Okay. The next paragraph, the third sentence, I wasn't sure if we agreed on this or not. We had a lot of discussion. There was talk of the local government partnership council, which some of us didn't like. And I wasn't sure if this captured the sense of the commission or not.
I think it's about as close as we could get to what we thought. I'm not too sure we really took any specific action.
Maybe we just leave out that last sentence, and the reason I say that is because although I believe we should have a forum, I'm afraid this looks like we're endorsing AML being the forum, and I don't think we're doing that.
Yeah. Cross it out?
What if we do say maybe just this area deserves intensive examination, something about just saying with state and local working together. So,
yeah, that'd be fine.
But without saying how.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll take the last sentence out then. Okay, in the 5 and 10 year plan, we're going to have a paragraph about the income tax.
Mr. Chairman.
Sir.
Mr. Chairman, before we get into that, I'm wondering if we had agreed to this idea, and I was wanting to put it in after the last sentence of the of that sentence dealing with the that's left for local government. Do you have a problem with that?
What was that again?
As a general matter, it is felt that sales and property taxes are revenue-generating vehicles best left for local government.
I don't think we really done well. Certainly available.
Other thoughts on that?
See the first sentence you lead into it, you say the commission was asked to examine the division of responsibility for providing services and raising revenues between the state and local governments. Then you have this other sentence, and then I know we had talked many times, and we had concluded, I think at least in discussion, that sales and property taxes would be an area left to local governments because it would be overlapping and there's difficult administration and whatnot. But I think it would be helpful to conclude that paragraph with that sentence.
Well, I wouldn't mind.
Is there any objection?
I wouldn't mind the property taxes, but I wouldn't want to be on record as saying that we agreed as a commission not to use a sales tax. As a matter of fact, we had several discussions about whether or not we would actually prefer the sales tax over the income tax, and it was a fairly close vote. So I would prefer that we just say that the commission respects the revenue authorities, the local governments, through property taxes, and the likely shared responsibility for or authority for levying sales taxes. However,
well, I disagree with that, Lee, entirely. We didn't discuss that at all, and
we don't have consensus. Let's leave both versions out.
We have about 8 minutes left, Mr. Chairman.
I understand. We talked a number of times about sales tax in the unorganized borough. Did we decide to leave that off the table for now? Okay, under the 5 and 10 year plan, income tax, why, what, where, how goes in there. We make the other changes that we made in the first page. Anything else in the 5 and 10 year?
Isn't this exactly the same language we had earlier?
Yes. The executive summary and the main report are the same, except that in the executive summary we're now going to add the income tax language.
Okay.
Main report, yes. Okay, we have left on the agenda in the next 6 minutes the issue of minority reports, graphics, and production. On minority reports, we have a minority report from Steve Rieger that is 2 pages of text and 4 pages of tables for a total of 6 pages. And we have a minority report from Sean Parnell that's 11 pages long. That's not in hand yet, but it's written, possibly jointly with you. I'd like to propose that we ask each, and Sean has already agreed to this, to do a one-page sort of summary of their minority report, and then we'll refer to, come to the commission office to get the complete report. I don't want to trample on the rights of minorities, but I don't want the minority reports to be longer than the commission's report.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any objection to doing a one-page written and a one-page graph, or whatever you call those things.
Okay.
The plan, so that people can see, you know, what they're talking about. Especially since Steve, you know, kind of came up with his plan during the, or at least proposed his during the deal. I don't remember Sean proposing one, but maybe.
I don't believe Sean ever proposed a specific plan other than the CREMO plan. That's another thing we haven't said anything about in here. Do we want to say anything about having looked at the CREMO plan, finding that it didn't work?
I don't want to do that. I think we, by implication, bought into a lot of what Roger has been promoting over the time, and if we direct our attention to him and say that we find that it doesn't work, we're just asking to insult the guy and create problems where no problem needs to be created.
Brian, did we not vote on the minority report status?
I thought so.
Yeah, we did.
I thought.
What was the vote?
I thought we were not including it in the body of the report, but it was available separately.
No, there was a short bit that was to be included with the report.
Well, I'd like to go back and check the record, because that's not my recollection.
My recollection is what we agreed to was that there could be a paragraph, anybody who wanted to do dissenting or concurring, you know, but say, for instance, they thought income tax should be been sooner, whatever they wanted to do, would be a paragraph in the, everybody could write a paragraph, and then we would refer to the, refer them to the office or to the appendix if we decided to do appendix. I'm just saying, if we're only going to have two and they could get them back,
I think you're right,
two pages, then
that
I would...
That was my recollection.
But I wouldn't have any objection to doing it differently if they could keep it.
Yeah, I think Sean's paragraph is about a page long. Okay, now, we've got the issue, too, of production. Do we want to try to move production quickly so we have a report out and available on Monday, or do we want to take this, prepare it, and make copies of it that are not the final report with all the graphics and everything available Monday? I feel we've made a commitment to Commonwealth North and the Chamber to give them a report, and I guess what I'd like to do at this point is to take this, do the edits that we've done here, copy it, and, you know, make 100 copies that may be ready Monday, but keep working on the graphics and formatting.
I agree. I think we're having some difficulty by not having more stuff on paper, and I think that'd be a good compromise.
As long as you stamp draft
okay.
Final.
Yeah, I agree, because I agree with Bob that we should have that stuff in there about what the budget really is, and, you know, we have that information, we just haven't had a chance to get it in, you know, put it together, so go ahead and do that, and then do the nice report.
Okay. That means we need another meeting to keep working on the nice report. Maybe after Monday's meeting, Judy, you and I can sit down and try to map out a schedule for when we want to do that.
Okay, now is Ross going to have something ready for Monday, or?
We hope so. He's going to have something ready. He's going to meet me at the commission office on Friday afternoon. You're welcome to. Why don't you come by if you're free at 3:30 or 4 o'clock?
Are we going to be there for this?
Yeah, I'm afraid we are.
Okay.
Brian, do you have your calendar with you?
Yeah.
Well, the very latest wrinkle in the Joint House and Senate Finance Committee meeting schedule is October 30th from
1 to 4. Okay, well, I'll pencil it in. I've learned that it doesn't need to be in ink because it has never been constant.
My advice is leave town.
That's what I'm doing. I'm gone. Oh, Mary, have a good time in London.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, everybody. We'll get back together again sometime next week at the call of the chair or vice chair.
Brian, you did a super
okay.
Job.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks a million, Brian.
Thanks, everybody. I think we really have a product we can be proud of. Notwithstanding what Mike Dugan or anybody else has.
9 o'clock.